than a gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Angelo Biola, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, along with Michael. Michael Mooring this morning, not Joe Gorskowski. What's going on?
I heard that Joe is feeling a little under the weather this morning.
Oh, boy.
That's what he says.
Hopefully he is okay.
I hope so.
Not laughing. It's not funny to laugh at somebody.
No,
of course not. We're not laughing at Joe. Derek Brandeo at the board. On the board. At the fan. I'll be okay. Wonderful program today. Beautiful weekend, by the way. Oh, my God. This is it. The real deal. Great weekend in store for all of us, especially those of us who love the outdoors, because everything is about to open. Bass season is about to be open in the entire province. Sectors are opening up today. A lot of people have been waiting. We had an interesting guest yesterday on the what did we call that webcast? Do we have a name for it?
There's an official title. I think we just call it Fish in Canada Live.
Oh. Well, we've got to give it a name or something.
Something a little more flashy?
Yeah. Yeah, come up with something.
Okay, right? I'll get on it.
Anyways, we had a wonderful guest there, that Stephen Cook, Dr. Stephen Cook from Carleton University, one of the leading researchers in fish behavior. And what an eye-opener yesterday was, because we knew, Pete and I knew going into it, that there'd be a lot of things that we've been saying and preaching for years that might be dispelled with Stephen Cook on the program. And yeah, there was a few. We'll talk about them a little later on. But what a great guest. It's fascinating when you mix, you know, science or theory with practice. And practice is, in our case, we've been doing the same thing over and over again for almost 40 years as we chase bass and other fish. And it's kind of cool to talk to somebody who comes at it from a totally different angle. And so, well, you were on that program. You were listening to it. How did it sound? Did we sound ridiculous after a while?
No, never.
Like the noise factor?
I did find that was fascinating.
That shocked the hell out of me.
Who wouldn't be shocked by that?
Shocked the hell out of me. Because I'll tell you just quickly at the audience, you know, what we're talking about. You know, for years, most of us in the know have been preaching, you know, stealthiness, quiet, whisper, don't let things drop in the bottom of the boat, you know, approach with the utmost care when you're going into a fishing area.
I've definitely been admonished more than once for being a little heavy, having heavy feet on the boat.
And yes, you have. And so yesterday when we were talking to Dr. Cook on the show, you know, we talked about different areas of fish behavior, and one of them I brought up was exactly that. You know, how much credence can we put in the fact that fish are very alert and aware of their surroundings, and any sounds that might come in to their area is going to put them off. You know, I was kind of looking for him to verify that comment, and he kind of said, no, not really. They absolutely have no reaction to sounds within, even in right up against them, sounds that we've planted on beds where males have been guarding their fry. They've put speakers, and he says, no, they don't. For some reason, that stuff doesn't bother them at all. So there you go. 40 years of preaching out the window for me. I guess I'm going to have to start all over again. Good thing I didn't go any deeper into any of my theories at all. I just left them all on the shelf. I said, the hell with that. I'm not taking any chances on this one. But he's been on the program here before. He's been on Outdoor Journal before. But
we had him on just last week.
Was it last week?
I think it was recent. But we didn't have that much time to speak with him, so it was nice to.
And not only that, but we don't go in depth with him on the radio program. You got 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and you get in and get out, right? The podcast, I mean, you got 2 hours. So you're digging up everything, and it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it, even though he made me look like a fool. But that's okay. He's not the first, nor will he be the last, I'm sure. All right, let's. What do we got? Oh, well, first of all, let's remind folks that we are getting very close to the next 2.5 Mercury giveaway. In fact, we're a week and a half away. Week and a half away from drawing and making the next draw. That's on fishingcanada.com. A free entry into the 2.5 Mercury outboard motor giveaway. We are giving away 10 of them between when we started in March and December. And we are on, I believe, number 4. And number 5 will be given away, or number 4 will be given away at the end of this month. I'm not sure. Who's counting? Are you counting?
No.
I'll suffice to say we're giving them away. That's all that really matters. And suffice to say that it's absolutely free. All you need to do is go to fishingcanada.com, get into the contest section of the website, fill in the appropriate blanks along with a question, multiple choice question, that has an A, B, C, or D. And if you don't know the answer, you can just push hint button, and it will take you to the answer, and then you come back and you put it in, and Bob's your uncle, and off you go. And then you do that again 24 hours later. You repeat that same action and just keep putting ballots in the drum, because every ballot you put in is another chance to winning. You cannot put too many in. The let's put it this way. You don't have to worry about saying, did I put one in already 20 hours ago? Because if you go in and you already put one in 20 hours ago, the machinery will say, it'll tell you you've got 2 hours left to go or something. So don't worry about it. Just keep going. Just go back. Just don't worry.
Keep going. We even offer bonus entries. There are often guides for content you can view on fishingcanada.com or our YouTube channel for extra entries.
How often does that happen?
Constantly.
Wow.
Yeah, so you got to be vigilant. Just sign in all the time and keep a close eye on that kind of thing.
And speaking of vigilant, whoever he is, don't forget, while you're there at the 2.5 Mercury outboard motor, four-stroke outboard motor contest, also right next to it, free of charge, is a boat, motor, and trailer. What the hell? You're there already for a motor. Why not try for the complete package? You have to enter both in order to qualify for either or both. So don't forget, boat, motor, trailer. Princecraft boat, motor, trailer. Beautiful aluminum boat. 14-foot walk-through concept, brand-new concept from Princecraft, along with a Mercury 4-stroke 20-horsepower EFI motor and a custom galvanized trailer. Beautiful package. It will be given away as well. All you have to do is enter into that contest, but it is separate from the 2.5 Mercury, so do not mess around. Get into both of them, and get into both of them every single day. Did I make that perfectly clear, Michael?
I think so. I think we got pretty much everything, unless you want to mention,
yes,
just in case, if you do not win the motor, your ballots are good for the following draw. They roll over. So don't be dispirited if you didn't win this month or last month. Just have at her, and you have higher chances next time.
How can I forget to mention? See, that's why stuff's got to be written down for me. You know? How can I leave that out? That is critical. They just keep rolling over. So what you're doing is if you don't win a particular month, don't worry. That's all the more chances you're going to have into next month's contest. So you didn't waste your time. Keep going every day, another ballot, every day, another ballot. There's people in there who've got ballots. I don't even know where they got the ballots. They got more ballots in there than days. So I have no idea where they're getting them, but that's fine. I don't care. Somebody's got to win. I got to give the stuff away. It's not like I can keep it. All right. That's all happening at fishcanada.com. Go there right now and go there often. COVID-19 pandemic has certainly taken its toll upon us. Certainly, with this locking up indoors has been insane for most of us, me included. I'm embarrassed to tell you, we being the Fish in Canada folks, we don't have any scheduled shoots on the books yet. Here we are. We're almost in July. We don't have anything, Michael.
It's a little concerning.
It is a little concerning. So I can only imagine other folks, they're in the same boat. I mean, you got all kinds of issues to think about. Financial issues, obviously, that's a big problem for a lot of folks. Child care services or the lack thereof. And of course, just the whole limited social connection. That's the one I'm having the most difficult time with. To talk to us this morning about those and other potential issues, the Honorable Michael Tibolo is the Associate Minister of Health and Mental Addictions. He will be joining us a little later on to see how they're coping with that. There's got to be, I would think that's probably one of the ministries that's having the biggest calls and problems to deal with, for sure. And Michael will be in to join us shortly. If I say ICAST to you, Michael, do you know what that means?
I do know.
Oh, you do know?
I do.
Wow, okay.
But I'm in the know.
You're in the know, right. And most people are not as advanced as you are.
That's right.
In terms of this type of knowledge. It is the American Sport Fishing Association exhibitor show and industry show that happens once a year. It's the biggest in the world. It's a fishing show that is open to not the public, but buyers, manufacturers, advertisers, media people. I mean, it's huge, massive, and it takes place every year in Orlando. And I personally have attended that show for 32 years straight, never missed a single one. And so when this pandemic hit, I started thinking, wow, it took a pandemic to get me not to go to an ICAST show. And guess what? A pandemic couldn't keep me down. I'll tell you
Nothing
why.
Nothing could keep you down.
No, well, that's true. I'll tell you why, because ICAST has gone virtual for this year because they couldn't have a show in Orlando the way they normally would. They've decided to go online with the show, the same dates that it always has taken place. And to talk to us about that and how it's going to unfold and look is Liz Ogilvie, the Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of the American Sport Fishing Association. She'll tell us about all the details. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be very cool. Kevin Callan, the Happy Camper, will be joining us. He of FishingCanada.com, blogger fame now, along with the other accomplishments like being an author and all kinds of good stuff. Of course, he is the consummate canoeist, wilderness canoeist, outdoorsman who has public speaking engagements about the subject. As I said, he's an author. Just a wonderful guy. He's going to be on the program shortly talking about his latest trip. He just came back from Algonquin Park. I envy him. I envy that. Just came back. Actually, I spoke to somebody yesterday who just came back as well. So there must have been a rush on Algonquin Park once they opened it up. We'll talk to Kevin and all his escapades here shortly. Chris Green is the director and an instructor at the Guelph Outdoor School, a school that teaches kids about the outdoors. In the outdoors. Interesting concept, very novel. Teach kids about the outdoors in the outdoors. There's been much discussed about kids returning to school following COVID-19 and the pandemic, of course, and what that might look like and what is the best approach. Well, maybe formal education should be reinvented, Michael, taking the learning to the outdoors. You know, take them outside. Maybe that's where we need to go with this whole thing. Anyways, Chris Green will join us to talk to us about that and all other good things outdoors. A lot of ground to cover. But first, a little behind-the-scenes look at Canada's most watched national fishing program, the Fishing Canada Show on Global Television Network. This week, co-hosts Peter Bowman and Steve Nedzwicki travel to Ivanhoe Lake near Timmins, Ontario, with walleye in mind. But as in a lot of our outings, from time to time, the weather doesn't quite agree with your plans. And this shoot was no stranger to that. One of the worst weather conditions that the crew has ever faced in a long time. And so using Ivanhoe Lake as home base, we kind of travel back into Fishing Canada archives for this particular episode. And we sort of bring out all of the bad weather shows that we've had throughout the years. And it's a real good learning tool for folks who might say, well, what do you do if you're planning all year for a trip and all of it, and you go and you finally get there and all of a sudden it's like torrential downpour or hurricanes even? How do you deal with it? Well, Watch Fishing Canada right now on Global Television Network, and they will have some of those answers for you. The episode is called Extreme Weather Walleye, and it's airing on Global Television as we speak. Of course, if you're listening to us, you might not be watching them, so all you need to do is go to fishingcanada.com and check out information on that episode. It's called Extreme Weather Walleye. I'll tell you when and where you can view it if you missed it. Of course, you shouldn't miss it because you should PBR all the Fishing Canada episodes anyways, just in case you want to re-enjoy them. Is re-enjoy a word?
Even? Let's make it a word.
Re-enjoy. Fishing. All right, there you go. Thank you, Michael. It's all happening on Fishing Canada and fishingcanada.com. Yeah, baby. Time for a little in-house safety, our in-house safety expert. His name is Brad Schlorf. He retired of the Ontario Provincial Police. Good morning, Bradley.
How are you? I was talking with Derek. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, don't be sorry. Derek, too, needs people to talk to him. There's nothing wrong with that. He's lonely, you know.
He's in the big city all by himself there.
I know. Can you imagine? That'd be kind of eerie, wouldn't it, being in that whole building, Rogers Building, by yourself. That's spooky.
Weird.
That's like a Jack Nicholson horror show. What was that called?
You remember? I thought you were going to say a Jack Summers horror show.
Well,
The Shining.
Shining. The Shining. I love it. How are you, Mr. Schlorf?
I'm doing good. I cut the grass yesterday. I got no big plans for anything today other than Father's Day, first of our 10-person social circle, so I'll actually get to see my grandson. The world is good.
The world is as it should be. Cutting your lawn, that's kind of nice, too, because that has a lot to do with the subject matter for today's Keeping It Safe. I have a story here in front of me about some distressed snowmobilers who are asking ATVers to stay off the trails. What is that all about?
Okay, this isn't a happy story, and it's a plague of stupidity that plays out often. So that the OFSC maintains a lot of landowner agreements with people to access their property to run the snowmobile trails on them. It, without these landowner agreements, the trail infrastructure would fall apart. But in those things, so the volunteers from the OFSC put in countless hours of maintaining things. They sign stuff where necessary. They put up gates. And there are still idiots that decide that they need to trespass on those snowmobile trails on ATVs and dirt bikes. And I guess a landowner in the Port Severn area has had enough, and he's canceled his land use permit with the OFSC, so now the local club has to find an alternate to get around it. The important detail about that is this is the Sea Trail, and if you wanted to travel from, say, the Barrie area to Cochrane, that's how you get there.
All right, I want to ask you about that, because I read the story, and I thought, well, okay, so what? What's the big deal? And that's where I want to ask you. What's the big deal, whether it's snowmobiles or ATVs, if the owners are putting the land up for use, why, what's the big deal? But don't answer that, Brad, because we have to take a quick break, and I know folks are riveted to their seat waiting for you to give us the knowledge and answer that is just on your lips right now, waiting to go. So sit tight. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 59, the Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Bradley Schlorf. Over there is Michael Mooring, along with Derek Brandeo. At your service, we will shepherd you through this wonderful weekend through the outdoors, that is. We'll shepherd you through the outdoors, that is. I wanted to preface that. I'm going to make sure I clean that up.
Hold on.
Yeah. Bradley, you there, buddy?
I'm all there, but you know, you're getting into all this sheep stuff. Now I'm starting to get nervous.
As you should, my friend. All right, so I'm reading this thing and I'm thinking, okay, the good people that own this property were nice enough to donate it or donate its use to the snowmobile clubs across the province so that they could come up with this wonderful trail that you could basically traverse this entire province using these trails. And so now that snow is done, the ATV guys are saying, hey, how about me? Why can't I use those trails? And everybody's poo-pooing that. So how come?
Well, in the first place, the whole dynamic of what ATVs and dirt bikes do in the summertime on a trail is different than snowmobiles in the winter. So, and a lot of the times these areas where people have granted permission to them are, you know, it's a corner of a farm field, or it's a piece of bush way far away, and the people only go up to their property in the summertime. A, they don't want somebody roaring around on their property in the summertime. It's okay to traverse it in the winter on a snowmobile.
Gotcha.
Fairly inobtrusive, but it's not something that they desire 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So that can be the problem. Also, the properly maintained snowmobile trail, groomed and used by snowmobilers like it's supposed to be, like after it's groomed and all that, is fairly innocuous to hurting the property. So it's a bit different than a dirt bike or an ATV tearing through mud holes and things. So, and the Ontario Federation of All-Terrain Vehicles Clubs has a trail infrastructure. So it's not like people on ATVs need to go to that particular place to enjoy the sport that they like. There are other alternatives for them.
Okay. See, now that makes sense. Now that you've explained it, I'm buying in. I'm in. Yeah. Stay off the damn trails. That's dumb. I agree with you. So what's going to happen now?
So then what happens is that now the local snowmobile club has to find an alternate route to get around there. So that means either that, you know, they find a road that they can get on, and apparently in the article, the road that's being considered is not that safe because there's no shoulders and it's rock cuts, and yeah, I can imagine what it looks like. So, you know, that may mean that snowmobilers have to travel on that road, which is not the best safety circumstances, or they find another landowner maybe to give them permission. It's a big problem. But again, this is a main trunk trail. So it's, and if you wanted to make that big snowmobile safari, go all the way around to Cochrane and then across Highway 11 to Hearst or someplace like that, that's how you would have to go through there.
Wow. Now, are these ATVers crossing, like, how are they getting onto this land? Because I'm assuming that once the snow's off, the barriers go up and the fences go up and the no trespassing signs go up.
Well, not everywhere. So that, and a lot of times you may come from the closest road or access or whatever on a piece of county forest or somewhere that's not, that is permissible to use that other motorized vehicle on it. And then you wind up going for a ways and you get to this private property. So there's a, you know, not knowing the specific place, there's a whole myriad of potential of how you could get there. So it flat out, plain and simple, very few of the snowmobile trails that aren't approved are permitted for other vehicles to ride on.
Gotcha. And while we're on the ATVing thing, are there any safety tips? Because obviously that's the next big thing now for the next few months is ATVing. Anything we should know in terms of safety tips? We obviously know to stay off of private property now, but what else can you share?
Okay, so there's been another serious ATV incident that I read about. Common factor again, no helmet.
No helmet?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's insane. Total insane. But anyways, obviously helmets must be worn at all times. Is that a law, by the way?
Yes, it is.
So you cannot ride any type or form of ATV, all-terrain vehicle, on or off roads, even where they are permitted on some roads. You cannot operate them without a helmet.
With very limited exception, that's the easiest way to put it. Yeah, you got to wear a helmet when you're on an ATV.
Okay, and licensing, how does licensing work for one of those?
Same, like you either again circumstances where you can ride an ATV on roads that's different than a snowmobile a little bit. You have to have a driver's license, you have to obey strict rules to that, have to have insurance, and has to have a plate on it.
Oh, it has to have a plate. See, I didn't know that even for off-road, Brad?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Except on lands occupied by the owner.
Okay. There you go. I'm learning something new every day. That's why I'm
here.
The
world is good. It's great to be educated, you know.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Now, I just said I'm learning a few things. Not education. That's a whole other ballgame, my friend. Let's not get carried away.
Well,
although you know, if I've said this a few times to myself. I've said, self, you know, if you could go back in time, and you could have somebody be your teacher, who would it be? And I always said I would like Brad Schlorff to be my teacher.
Fool's cap.
I think, no, I'm serious, because I think he'd be a good teacher. The fool's cap. See, the fool's cap. That was the first giveaway. That's why I liked you right off the bat.
So I hit the research department, Google, and I checked into it. So it's a real thing, but it's also is a name for something you wear on your head.
Yeah, so it is a fool's cap. was named after a fool's cap because it was...
No, I don't think the naming went together. It's just coincidental. That's just my theory. Like, it could have went together 200 years ago when somebody decided, let's call that piece of 8x11 piece of paper, let's call it a fool's cap. And then probably because somebody had folded one up and put it on their head.
Anyways, I thought it was great. That's all we need to know. Do you ATV? Do you ATV?
I did, but I don't anymore. I got no skin in the game in this. I'm not the coordinator of these activities for the OPP anymore. I don't own an ATV anymore. I don't own a snowmobile anymore. I get no skin in the game other than making sure that people do what's right.
Okay, just checking, because obviously if somebody's talking to me about rules and regulations and their users, then I'm apt to pay attention. But, you know, if you got no skin in the game, then what are you telling me all this stuff for?
Well, because we get tired of talking about paper.
Oh, good Lord. Anyways, so nothing planned for the weekend, obviously.
Going to have a visit from my grandson in our social circle of 10. We got little diagrams with circles on them and everything about how many people we can talk to and hang out with, and he's in it.
Perfect.
And he just learned how to walk.
I'm going to do much the same, by the way. I'm going to be enjoying the grandkids this weekend, I believe. We've got to soon get on the road. I mean, I was saying earlier on the program, this is first time since we started this crazy thing called Fishing Canada that we haven't been on the road by now. So very soon.
It's the season.
Well, it's supposed to be a season. Bass season opens up in this province starting this weekend in some locations. So by next weekend, it'll be open throughout the province. And we got nothing scheduled. Like, what is up with that? Anyways, we'll figure it out. All right, my friend, you have yourself a good and wonderful weekend. And happy Father's Day to you, by the way, in case I don't talk to you beforehand.
Happy Father's and Grandfather's Day to you, too.
All right, Brad. Take care. Talk to you next Saturday.
See you.
Bradley Schlerf, retired Staff Sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, our in-house safety expert, talking to us about ATV use in this province. ATVs are becoming very, very popular. In fact, I had a stat that I was looking at earlier in the week that says that it is slowly surpassing. It's becoming the single most important recreational vehicle in this province right now. So.